Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the minister.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And God, and the word grew mightily as they obeyed, you know, did this in honor of God. In Acts 19, verse 13 says, and Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so, and the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? I tell you what, you'll clean your house if you're doing deliverance sometimes and you're after spirit, and he'll tell off on you what you got in there. You say, demons do that? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll tell you, who do you think you are? Anyways, at verse 16, and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house, that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds, and many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. You see, when you love Jesus more than you love things, you don't let the cost of anything or anything that would stand between you and him. And they obeyed God. They saw what the power of the devil had done. And it put the fear of God in them. And I say that if we had the fear of God in us, that God would have us. You know, we've always said it's reverential fear. It's in awe of God. Well, if we really knew, believed who he is and was in awe of him, we would obey him, wouldn't we? And we find excuses, but I can't do this. What will they think? Who cares what they think? We care what he thinks. I'm not telling you be ugly or anything. Explain. You know that I found when we quit having Christmas trees in my house, not one kid came in and asked me where the tree was. And we'd always had a big Christmas tree and, you know, and all the whole nine yards till I really discovered what it was all about. And I think they thought, well, the mom and dad is just, you know, strange. They didn't say anything about the pictures being gone off the wall. They just come in and started reading the scriptures. God honors us. He loves us when we obey him and keep his word. Go to Joshua chapter 6. You know, in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 18, well, verse 17, you know, they had just, God told them to go, they had victory over destroying Jericho. And God told them not to take anything when they destroyed the city. Verse 17 said, the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed things, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take on the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. God told them, don't take anything, not anything, when you destroy the city. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel, verse 1, committed a trespass in the accursed thing, that for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zadok, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Achan took of the cursed things that God said don't take. But I want to show you something. Verse 10, and the Lord God said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore lost thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, who took the accursed things? Achan did. But God said, Israel has sinned. He said, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing and have stolen the symbol also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemy because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except you destroy the accursed thing, accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourself against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, thou cannot stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Did you ever stop to think that maybe some of the things that's happening to you is because there's an accursed thing in the midst of you? But did you see that the whole camp of Israel was polluted by the accursed thing that Achan brought in to the camp? You see, God says what He means, and He means what He says. And we have justified, covered it up. See, Achan hid it, and what happened to him? He died, and not only him, but his whole family, everything he had, they stoned it. They killed it. They killed his animals, his wife, his kids, and him, because the sin that he had brought into the camp cursed the whole camp of Israel. The Lord showed me something today about my little church. My church. Our God's church, that I'm still there. That there's a person in our church that won't tithe. They won't give the church a penny. And because of it, they're still in the church, and it's cursed the whole church. I had never seen that before, but he spoke that to me today when the brother was preaching. And I thought, Lord, what do you do in a case like that? God supplied our need. But man, I thought you was going to say close the church. Oh, I've done everything. I've prayed. I've talked to them. It doesn't do good. I preached Malachi, you know. And the devil takes everything these people have. I said, won't give God a nickel, and the devil gets it all. I mean, you know, God don't need the money, but they sure need to give it. If you're stealing from God, He can't bless you. Read the book. That's what I told. I tell you, you can't outgive God, that's for sure. And if you'll obey His word, He can bless you. You know, if you need healing, and that's what the Lord was showing me, this lady has got a real crippling disease. And God has always healed her up until now. And she'd get deliverance and get healed. But how can you expect God to bless you if you're not obeying Him? I'm telling you, I want to see us be obedient to the Lord. You see, I'm in a hard spot in more ways than one. Oh, praise the Lord. But look, you stop and think about this. Did you know that it's not only affecting her on her husband, but her family, her kids, are being affected the same way? Because of their sin. See, the sin in the camp affects more than just you and me. It affects the whole camp. And so her whole family's walking and having problems. And you know, we need to believe God. You got any abominations in your house? I was standing in the pulpit one day in our church years ago when I first learned about this. And we was having problems with our dining room door. It would open and close with nobody there. Sometimes, especially when we had company, it was almost like somebody would just take it and slam it. And Jim and I'd look, and we'd move. Everything had gone off the wall except Scripture. We had Scripture, pictures with Scripture on the wall. And I was preaching one Sunday morning. We had anointed everything. We covered it with the blood of Jesus and just said, you know, drove out everything we could think of. We knew a spirit was this demon, but we didn't know why it was still there. And I was preaching one Sunday morning in church, and the Lord began to talk to me about my house. And he said, you got death in your dining room. And I said, death? And he said, yeah. He said, go home and look at one of the pictures that has scripture on it. Well, I had looked at it. You hung it. And sure enough, there was a dead bird in it. It was hanging upside down in there. And that demon had a legal right, that spirit of death, in my dining room. This was years ago. Until we got that thing out. We threw the thing out. Someone had given it to me. And because I was putting scripture up around my walls. And when we threw the thing out, the demon left because he lost his legal hold there. He said, you're weird. Yep. I agree with you. Deuteronomy 18, chapter 18. Let's go then and look at... check, you know what I'm saying, why I told you that? Check your wall, check your house. You know, my little granddaughter, I had been, bought some new kitchen curtains and put them up, and I'd been teaching on hearts, on Valentine's and hearts and what they were. And she came over to my house one day and she says, Grandma, why are you doing those hearts in your kitchen? And I said, what? I don't have any hearts in my kitchen. She says, come go with me. I'll show them to you. My little five-year-old granddaughter took me in the kitchen and says, look at your curtains. I had bought solid colored curtains that had, looked like lace, crochet around the edges of them. But in this, every little bit there was a heart and I had not seen it. My eyes had been blinded to it and that child saw it. So check your house. You don't know what you got in there. Ask God to show you if you got anything there that you've missed. And I do that regularly. And if, when they come over, I'll say, go look. See what you can find. I want to know because they see. You know, you're there all the time. You don't see it. And you bring in a lot of stuff that you don't need in your house. You don't want a heart in your house, do you? Well, some people have them everywhere. But somewhere, some people have frogs and owls everywhere, too. I'll get on that in a minute. Deuteronomy 18 verse 9 says, when thou come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abomination of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Most people don't even believe witchcraft can touch them. They don't believe in witches. I had this lady that lives next door to me said, oh, that's just a figment of people's imagination. I said, really? She has 13 cats in her house and she has asthma. I said, why don't you get rid of those cats? Well, I'm not going to get rid of those cats. I said, well, keep the asthma. She doesn't believe in witchcraft. Cats go back to Halloween if you don't believe it. Look. And anyways, verse 11, or charmer, or consulter with familiar spirits, or wizard, or necromancer. By the way, necromancy is abomination to God. And people that go to the cemetery and talk to the dead are in necromancy. And they think they're talking to their loved one. And let me tell you something. If you've lost someone and a spirit comes back and tells you they're them, don't you believe it.
Amen.
It's a familiar spirit, and it's trying to destroy you, and it can blind you and get you into something you don't want to get into. But I know people that go to the cemetery and visit with their dead. There's a church somewhere, I don't know the church, but one of the girls that go to our church was telling me about it, said they go once a year and have parties in the cemetery. And they clean the graveyard and they get over the graves and they do all that weeping and bawling, and they're not there. It's dirt. The body goes back to the dust. The scripture tells us absent from the body is present with the Lord. When you leave this, my husband used to say, you just unzip this suit and you're gone. He said, this is your earth suit. You're not going to take it with you. And that's true, because the scripture says the spirit came from God and the body came from dust. And we know that God created man from the dust. So don't get into necromancy. You go to the cemetery and do work in the cemetery, go out there and praising Jesus and talking to him. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God has driven them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of time and to diviners, but as for thee, the Lord thy God has not suffered thee so to do. He said the reason they drove those nations out was because they were doing the things God said don't do. And if America don't get back and do the things that God says to do, Lord help us. If even God's people that know to do and don't do need to do. We who was it said? Was it last night the brother said we were the, or maybe I don't know who said it, that we were the ones, the Christians was the ones that was keeping our country now. Think what would happen if we obeyed the word and did what the word said instead of finding excuses why we can't do it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, it's okay. That's between you and God. But let me tell you, I believe what His word says. God is a jealous God. And He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And anything, men, if you love your car better than you do God. Women, if you love your house better than you do God. If you love your, you know, those are inanimate objects. But if you put anything, your money, God can take it away. God says He's jealous. We want to love Him back and to be obedient to Him. Okay, let's go on. Let's go to Genesis. I got one more than Habakkuk. Let's go to Habakkuk first, then we'll go to Genesis. I'm procrastinating. I'll tell you why in a minute. In Habakkuk, in chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 18, says, what profit the graven image that the maker thereof has graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make them idols? Once I read this, I want to ask you to see if you see puppets in this. Puppets are in churches. People are using them to speak to children. He said, woe unto them that saith to the wood, awake to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before Him. Puppets are idols. They are misleading. They are abomination. There's another scripture. It's over in Isaiah somewhere. I don't have it. But it says those that throw their voices, that make it pretend that the wood is speaking, God calls it an abomination. Okay. Isaiah 9. Yeah. But it's an abomination unto God. Let me see if I can find it here real quick. Okay, give me the verse too, Doc, so I don't have to go through all these pages. 8:19. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel, saith the Lord. 19. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits and the wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto the God, to their God, for the living to the dead? So here. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So this is a scripture with that one over in Habakkuk. God tells us, think of the churches that are using these puppets. Why do they have to use puppets to teach Jesus? Okay. Go over to Genesis 35. Now we're going to go on some other things. Why do you think that it has become such a fad, the earrings? They wear them in their lip, their nose, their tongue, their ears, and every other place that's unmentionable. Eyebrows. In the navel. In Genesis 35, Jacob, before going into the house of the Lord, had them put away their strange gods. Let's read it in verse 1, chapter 35 of Genesis. And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among thee, among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the days of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. Jacob hid them. Let's go to Exodus 21. First time I heard about earrings, I was in Worley's church. My husband had just given me a real pretty pair of little gold earrings. And I never could wear earrings because my clip-ons always hurt my ears. And so I'd had my ears pierced. And I go up to Win Hurley's church, and they're doing deliverance. And of course, I'm the only one in there with earrings on. And, of course, he gets on earrings. Of course, there I sit. I tell it like it is. After he got through, I snuck out, went downstairs to the ladies' restroom, and I said, Lord, I don't like this church. And he said to me, What you can't receive, lay it aside. Don't throw it away. So I didn't take them off right then. So I go back and get another dose because somebody else got up and preached the same thing because they were having one right after the other preach. So finally I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take them off. And I thought, and I'll put them back on when I get out of here too. But you know, I didn't. God delivered me from though he, I got, took them off. I go back into the church and I had totally forgotten about it when I got home. Walked in, they was having night services when we got back. We left on Sunday, came back on Sunday. And when I walked in the church, every woman in the church said something to me about, where are your earrings? And I said, well, it's a long story and just wait a minute and I'll tell you. And I began to share what God had said. So, earrings is bondage. It's a sign of slavery. I said Exodus 21, verse 5. They shall not make baldness upon their head, neither shall they shave off the corner of their beards, nor make any cuttings in the flesh. I thought I'd better hit the men too. Cuttings in the flesh. They shall be holy unto their God and not profane the name of their God. For the offering of the Lord... Is that the one I want? That's not the one I want. I want 21. I'm in Leviticus. No wonder it wasn't right. First mistake I made since a while ago. Praise the Lord. Exodus 21. He said, if he can't, and if the servant shall plainly say, let me back up and read all of this. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Is that sound too loud? Came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free, go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him in, bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In other words, he put a hole in his ear. And you know, when you wear earrings, you get holes in your ears. I had to pray and repent over them. I think it's Bell's palsy that comes in with and harlotry with pierced ears. We run into that in deliverance. And God said that it's a sign of slavery and bondage. Let's go to Hosea. Hosea chapter 2. No? Yeah, 2. Praise you, Jesus. Now, I believe it's chapter... Let me see. That's not right. Let me get over where I was. Chapter 3. No, it's 2. He said in verse... Is it 3? I've lost my place. Wait a minute. Hold on. Bear with me for a minute. Verse 13. Well, I'll tell you why I'm wrong. I'm in the wrong book. I'm in Habakkuk. I want Hosea. Excuse me. Bear with me. See, I'm not perfect yet. God's still working. Praise the Lord. Verse 13. Yeah. And I will visit upon her, talking about Hosea. If you read the whole thing, you get what he's talking about here. And he said, I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them and decked herself with her earrings and her jewels. And she went after her lovers and forgot me, saith the Lord. And it's the spirit of harlotry that she decked herself. Hosea is talking about Hosea. And I know that there's different meanings to the book of Hosea, but we're talking in that's what the word says about the earrings, that they are a sign of harlotry. And as I say, I'm telling you, as my job is to tell you, I'm not condemning you, I'm just telling you if you're wearing earrings. Let's go to, let's look at the blood. How many of you have ever eaten blood? Blood sausage? Rare meat? Go to Leviticus chapter 17. Got awful quiet in here.
You want Leviticus 3:17?
I'm coming to that in just a minute. I'm going to do it last, after this one, Glenn. In verse 10 of 17, Leviticus 17 says, "And whatsoever man there be in of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is a blood that maketh an atonement for the souls. Then I said unto the children of Israel, therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood." I've ran into this. Glenn has told how he found about some of the blood curses, but I found it with a lady that I was ministering to in deliverance one time. She was about my age then, but this has been 20 years ago. And she told me that her husband loved blood sausage and blood pudding, and that they made them. And I'd never heard of it. And she said, "I want to be delivered from blood curses." So we started praying for her. I didn't know how, because I'd never dealt with it before. I didn't know how to break curses. You know, this was all real new to me at that time. So, but we prayed for her, and she had on a pair of slacks with elastic in them. And she ended up on the floor. And we just continued praying, you know, what else do you do? And we really didn't know how to do it. But you know what? When she got up off the floor, she had to hold her pants. They tried, would almost fall off of her. Her stomach had gone down from all that blood that she had eaten. And then later, when we learned how to break the curse, we broke it off of her family. But God says in Leviticus chapter 3, people say, "Well, we're not under that." But I'll tell you what, over in Acts it talks about we're not to eat blood. But in chapter 3 of Leviticus, it tells us that it is a perpetual curse. God said in chapter 3 and verse 17, "It shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings, that you eat neither fat nor blood." The fat and the blood was offered as offerings unto God. You ever eaten fat? Not me. I never liked meat like that. But anyways, let's go to Leviticus 11, chapter 11. Now we're going to get on the unclean things that God says we're not to eat. Chapter 11. Wait a minute. Chapter 9, Leviticus 19. Oh, I got 11. What did I have over there? Wait a minute. Hold on just a second. Go to Leviticus 19. Verse 26. No, I missed one. That's okay. I'm buying confusion. I missed one more ago. It is 11. Chapter 11. In verse 4, Leviticus 4, 11, verse 4. "Nevertheless, this is talking about the clean and unclean animals. And he says in chapter 4, verse 4, "Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the hare, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof, he is unclean unto you. And the swine, though he divide the hoof and be cloven footed, yet he cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Are their flesh shall ye not eat, and their carcass shall ye not touch. They are unclean to you. Pork, swine meat is unclean, God said. I didn't know this, but someone told me when I was sharing this once before that hogs will even eat human flesh. I didn't know that, but said they're scavengers like your catfish, and they're unclean. You said, man, you're against everything. No, I'm not. I'm not against anything but what God's Word says. It's God's Word. And you could go over in Acts and get some more of it. You know, we were told when I first got saved, and I'm going to stop for a minute because this has gotten unbelief working. We were in the charismatic walk, and you know, in deliverance, we heard that you just touch and they go. And after we got into deliverance, I was getting people that were in the touch and go ministry coming to us and say, they ministered, they set me free, but I'm still the way I was. And I went back to them and asked them to pray for me again, and they said, well, you didn't keep it out. It's your fault. And I got tired of doing somebody else's work, and I said, listen, if they can touch and go, tell them to come out here and cast some of these out for me that we've got here. We just had people, kids, we had kids come in from the colleges out there that we were ministering to. And I said, these boys have been into drugs, they've been into their cult, they've been into everything under the sun. Come touch and go those. Had a lady come to my church one time, and she came in, and I was ministering to my daughter-in-law, and casting a doll out of her, doll spirit out of her. You said, man, you're really weird. Well, I didn't know it was there. And while I'm on this, when she was born, someone gave her mother a baby doll for that child, and she put it in the crib with her. And when that girl came into our church, she was playing the piano, and she used to sit there. She told me when I found out about it, that doll would come, that looked like her doll, and sit on the piano while she was playing it in the church. Okay? Now, touch and go would not get that thing out. We could not get the thing out of her. It would manifest in her until the doll was destroyed. And her mother had the doll, which was her mother was an unbeliever. And the same thing with a bear. She had a bear, same way. And after we got rid of that spirit, I just called it a doll spirit. I didn't know what it was. We had to get the bear destroyed. She would not let her children have anything in their crib with them. And when she let them have animals, stuffed animals, but she would pray over them, break curses off them, split them open, put a prayer cloth in there, and sew them back, or scripture, and sew them back up. And they could play with them during daytime, but they went out of the house at night. And I'll tell you this. We had a little girl in our church that came over to our house with her mother one night, and we was doing some deliverance on a lady, and the little girl was laying on the couch and sleeping. It was running kind of late, and she said, Miss Coffee, she said, I got a question I want to ask you. I thought she was asleep, and she had been asleep evidently, and we were about through, and she says, I want to ask you something. She said, in my bedroom, said, I've got all kinds of stuffed animals. And so I've heard you talk about the animals before, and she said, when I go to bed, they move around, and when I move around, their eyes follow me. She said, do you think I ought to get those out of there? She said, I don't sleep very well. And I said, she said, do you think I'll throw them away? And I said, well, I'll tell you this. I won't tell you to throw them away, but I'd take them out of my bedroom and take them out of the house. And she took them out, and that her mother put, when they went home that night, her mother put them in a garbage bag, and they had an outbuilding. And Holly told me later, she said that was the first time in a long time she had slept all night. She said, I don't want those things back again. You see, dolls were used in voodoo.
Yep.
That's where they first originated. Get your encyclopedia, look at them. If you're giving dolls to your grandchildren, well, better pray over them. I never bought a doll for mine after I learned where they came from and how they were used. But it's the same thing with animals. There's so much that the enemy uses to bring abominations into the house. And we broke, had to break soul tie with that doll and my daughter-in-law and call her soul back from the doll and the doll out of her. I didn't know anything else to do, and I just did what God told me to do. She got free from it. And I want to tell you something. When you've been with that girl and been through the kind of stuff she'd been through with those things, you become a believer. She taught her children. I was telling about my 5-year-old grandchild, the same one that told me about the hearts. We were fixing to do deliverance one night. And we got slow. We always, after church was over, people that wanted deliverance had to come up and sit on the front row. Sometimes it was hard for them to do it because the spirits didn't want them to. And we had sorted them out, you know. Two would take one person and they were sitting around all of the church and we were getting ready to start deliverance. But we must have been a little slower than Adrian wanted us to be because this little 5-year-old, we had this lady that had come up there and I don't remember who was going to minister to her, but my granddaughter just pulled her a chair up and she sat down and started praying. And she manifested that woman. When we got to her head was in the garbage can and she was up chucking. I have no idea what that child was calling off her, but she had 5 years old, had been in deliverance all her life. She came to church when she was 2 weeks old and she had been raised. She had seen it. She had seen her mother manifest it. And she had stood around and watched. And the demons hated those kids. They'd say, get those blankety-blank kids. When you get one manifest, get those blankety-blank kids away from here. And so I just thought, well, let's find out why they hate them. So and I said, why do you hate her? She's just a sweet little girl. I said, you stupid old woman, don't you understand? That child has pure faith. Pure faith. And he knew that she was a believer, and he wanted her away from him. You see, we hide the kids. You don't want your kids around delivered. Yeah, you want them delivered. I'd rather have one of my grandkids praying with me with deliverance than some of the people in the church because the kids had been through seeing so much of it, they believe. Oh, praise the Lord. Where was I? The swine. Eating swine fish. Okay, let's look at the fish. Verse 10 says, and all that have not fins, well, let me, verse 9, these shall ye eat of all that are in the water. Whatsoever has fins and scales in the water, in the sea, and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the sea and in the rivers of all that moves in the water and of any living thing which is in the water, they shall be an abomination unto you. They shall be even an abomination to you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in an abomination. Whatsoever has no fins nor scales in the water, that shall be an abomination unto you. A catfish. It's a scavenger. Shrimp. That's what a girl in my church said. Oh, I love them. Lobster, all that have not fins and scales. Abomination. They're unclean. And people eat them. What did you say? Oysters? Yeah. Oysters. Said, man, you just took away everything everybody eats. Well, I didn't do it. Wasn't me. I'm just reading it. God said it. It's in his book. Okay. Go to Isaiah 65. I'm about through. We're fixing to go into deliverance. Just a minute, but go to Isaiah. Okay, Isaiah 65. Let's do it. It says on eating of the pork and the swine's meat in Isaiah 65 in verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts, the people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, they that sacrifice in gardens and burn incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things that is in their vessel. And Isaiah 66 says, verse 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariot like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury, his rebuke with flames of fire, for by fire and by his swords will the sword Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many, and they that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree in the midst eating swine's flesh, and the abomination and the mouth shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. God said that all that disobey and do these abominable things shall be consumed together. Now I want a scripture on Romans in chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God tells us to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I'm going to give you these real quick. I'm not going to turn to them, but over in 2 Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. God said, search the scriptures and see if these things be true or not. Get into the word and find out what God says and look up for yourself. Get you a concordance or get you, as I told the girls upstairs, people believe, I think his doc says this all the time, they believe Webster more than they do in the Bible. So get you a Webster's dictionary and see what he says about all these things, these words, and look up the words, look up harlotry, look up whoredom, look up all these things you don't know and check into it. Praise the Lord. Amen. We got time to do a little deliverance? Anybody want any deliverance? Are you mad enough at me to get some? Praise the Lord. I'm going to do mass deliverance. I'm going to call out some spirits, okay? Okay, let's prepare, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you. I thank you for each one that's here now. And Lord, we just ask you, let the anointing of your spirit come forth to break the yoke. You said it's by the anointing. The spirit breaks the yoke. So Father, let the anointing come forth. Let the bondage be broken in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name. You said if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, I thank you that your word is true. It doesn't lie. You said heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would endure forever. And so, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I break soul ties right now of each one here and call their soul back. Lord, bring their, restore their soul from wherever it's been removed in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just give all praise, honor, and glory to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Word says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Doc will lead you when he does deliverance this afternoon through a lot of prayers. But you prepare, be preparing yourself if you want a lot of deliverance to receive deliverance. And we're gonna get some now. I'm gonna go after these spirits right now. I'm gonna start with eating of the of swine's meat because of it causes a lot of problems. Anybody in here have gout?
This is the end of this message.